The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, hour two of the National Intel Report today. Steve Elkins is out vacationing and birthdaying with his wife. Ron McDonald is still recovering from his heart condition. And this was the day that I had the opportunity to get Mark Anderson in studio here. He's jetting off to London tomorrow. By the way, what's the name of this thing?
Media on Trial.
Media on Trial. What do you want to make a bet? The media doesn't show up. They're not even going to show up for their own conviction.
Yes, I know. Somebody wants to make him walk the plank. We got to have somebody walk the plank. Here, you have your last cigarette, sir. Here's your blindfold. Now, stand still.
Jeez. We'll open up the phone lines. This happens. I'll put out the number. Nobody calls because they're very interested in the content of the program. But if you have any questions or quick comments to make, 800-313-9443. We got a little deal coming up here. Ron Avery is going to be doing something here.
Yeah, in collaboration with me, Ron is organizing it, and it's called The Ship That Won't Sink, and that's the main topic about the USS Liberty, a former submariner, Dave Gaheri, who also contributes to American Free Press like I do, is leading that conversation, and it's going to be posted at mixandstream.com, M-I-X, the letter N like Nancy, stream.com. And the main topic, The Ship That Won't Sink, about the USS Liberty, myself talking about global cities, a area of specialty for me, and Mickey Poletta of Mortgage Defense Systems, repudiating debt, showing the forgery that's rampant in mortgage documents and things like that, and other speakers, including Christopher Bolin on 9/11, and that's going to take place September 8th at Hotel Contessa on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, Texas. People are encouraged to come in person, of course, but it will also be live streamed, and we'll have more information on where you can watch all the speeches for $10.
So it'll be live streamed?
It'll be live streamed, and you'll be able to pay a small fee to see all the speeches that day, including myself and the others I outlined, Saturday, September 8th in San Antonio at Hotel Contessa on the Riverwalk.
By the way, Ron Avery, I'm going to be down there. Am I going to be slotted?
I believe you too. Yes, John.
Okay.
We'll pick a topic.
All right. Phil Turney is also going to be there.
With Dave Gaheri, with the main topic, The Ship That Won't Sink. Of course, that's the USS Liberty from June 1967, attacked, yes, by the Israeli Army and Air Forces and gunboats. Yes.
We kept that thing alive on RBN for a number of years. Nobody else was covering on a consistent basis. And that's the one lie that, they still can't cover up. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's where they really botched it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to talk about that one.
No, what they needed to do was sink that ship and kill everybody on board, and they failed. Not for a lack of trying.
Isn't it ironic that it was named and is named in our memories the USS Liberty, of all names it could have had?
Yeah. It could have been the USS Johnson or whatever, given
or
a name.
The Eisenhower.
Or something.
Yeah, you know, and so it'll be posted at mixinstream.com. Again, M-I-X, the letter N like Nancy, stream.com, which is Ron Avery, the organizer's main website. It'll be, as I understand it, the link for watching it, and the inexpensive pay-per-view will be probably available on other select websites. I'll be there talking about global cities, Mickey Paletta on mortgage defense systems, the main thing, the ship that won't sink, the USS Liberty, you, John, Christopher Bolin on 9/11, well-known for that topic. And it's going to be very interesting, very informative, and we're really taking this to the next level in how it's organized. But we encourage people to come and see it in person. And remind me, Ron, it's $25 a seat. $25 a seat. Come one, come all. The alternative media is moving to the next level while the mainstream media just wallows in its own losses and propaganda and constant lies.
And failing badly. The only problem with that is...
they don't even fail with style.
No, they really don't. By the way, folks, in case you didn't get all that, and you were writing fast and furiously, no pun intended, that's going to be posted on republicbroadcasting.org. We're going to have that link up there to Ron Avery's webpage. And, folks, no excuses this time around. You've got June, July, August. You got 3 full months and a few days here to prepare for this. It's only $25 a chair. And again, I will say this, folks. People that are doing this need to be supported. They need to know that you're there. For God's sakes, if we can't support our own endeavors, what the hell's the point, Mark?
There would be no point. The alternative media, the best of them, the vetted ones, and dare I say, I consider us among those, needs to put its best foot forward and really network together and collaborate, don't compete, and put it out there. Our collective voices are stronger than any one individual voice, and do the right thing. And do it with a good presentation, which is what we're going to do. And you can go to that website right now, Ron, correct? And see the icons for what's coming up.
And the website again is?
MixNStream.com, M-I-X, the letter N, stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, of course, .com. It'll be posted, like you said, John, on your website for Republic Broadcasting. But the thing is that the alternative media is getting to a point where we're discovering where the totally advertising-based approach doesn't work, and of course, state-owned wouldn't work. State-subsidized, there'd be problems with that.
Yeah, that's called NPR.
Yeah, or CBC or BBC and all that.
Right.
But a consumer-driven, subscription, donation-based approach is the best way to keep the content clean, to keep it from being compromised, and for everyone to feel like they own a little piece of it.
And, well, that's a whole different subject. I have Mickey Paletta online.
Ah, I've heard of him.
Hello, Mickey.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, Mickey, you being, I don't know how long you've been listening, but you being one of the upcoming speakers at the Saturday, September 8th program, the ship that won't sink, the main topic being the Liberty. You're going to talk about mortgage defense systems. I've worked with you on a couple of American Free Press articles and other projects. I've learned what happens when a bank makes a, quote, loan, end quote. Riddled with fraud, they loan nothing. They loan you something but part with nothing. They risk no assets of their own. They don't loan you the depositor's money nor their own money. What would you like to say to listeners in terms of some of the elements, some of the basics that you'll talk about in September in San Antonio?
Well, what I'm looking at is this. Guys, I believe that if we do our homework and if we study what we teach, I'm saying that we should be able to stop just about every foreclosure in the United States, not just in Pennsylvania, you know, in the northeastern states, but I'm saying, you know, in every state. As a matter of fact, that I just got the order that we want a case in Los Angeles, and that is a non-judicial state, and that state is so corrupt that it's very, very difficult to win a case like this there. But we've been fighting this case for probably 7 years, Mark, believe it, and it's a long road. She's done an excellent job, and I just read the order. And the order, the judgment, and with the sale, the house has been vacated. Everything has been reversed, and the property was given back to them. So that's a major win.
That is, and a non-judicial state means it's that much harder to win, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very, very tough. In a non-judicial state, now that's what Texas is, too, now, by the way.
Ah.
And that what it is that the lawyers that they are sending a letter in the mail and saying that you're in default and that they're going to foreclose on you. And what they do is they go in and file a suit, and they actually can foreclose on you. And oftentimes you're out of your house within 30 to 45 days.
Wow.
And it's not very, very long. And, you know, they got you out. But the only way that we have to, you know, combat this, guys, is that we have to understand that they are stealing our homes. They are basically stealing the actual wealth right out of the United States. And if we're going to protect our home, we have to study and we have to wake up. And with my group, we got roughly 35 videos that you can watch these from the luxury of your home, just by sitting in your home. And these tapes are professionally done. They're DVDs, and they're sound. And all you got to do is just sit there and learn. And then what else that we do, that we teach this, that we do weekly calls where that we role play, that because people, that they're scared of going into court.
Yes.
And that people... the courts are ours. Why are we afraid of the courts? And what I'm saying, that if you study and if you learn this and you role play, and when you go into court, that they're going to fear us because the law is really on our side. And that's just the way I feel. I've been doing this now, Mark, that you know, now for 35, 38, 8 years. And as far as the credit cards, I have won, or my group has won, well over 750 credit cards in all those years. And as far as the foreclosures, that we have won three in the last 6 or 8 weeks.
Mickey,
I
need to speak to you. This is John Statmiller, by the way. This is my program. How you doing, Mickey? I understand.
Okay,
I'll be seeing you down at the Riverwalk here on September 8th. But I've got one for you, just a little to interject here. Credit card remediation, 2 out of 3 were successful. My ex-wife did. The one was not successful. They bellied up on us. It went through court. We were found deficient. And then they turned around and put a lien. And this is worse than an ambulance chaser, the people that scour the books to buy what they call other people's debt. They were not party to the contract. This is a third-party outside person that comes in and says, well, I'll take the debt on that. I have a lien on the house until I either die or the house is sold.
Mm-hmm.
Any remediation on that kind of front?
Well, what I would recommend is that we're going to have to file a lawsuit, and it's forged in fraud that we can prove now. But the best thing that what we do, John, is that we can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that those alleged notes, that whether it's your credit card application, whether it is a promissory note, that whether it's a deed of trust, that we could put all those right inside a machine, and in that roughly 1.5 hour time, that we can have the printout that's going to explain to us that whether those notes are forged and fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that from all the loans that I have examined over the years, John, I'm saying this, that I have not found one note yet that's an honest loan.
Wow, that is a major statement.
Not one.
Yeah, and I know from working with Mickey, there's something called digital image extraction. They digitally scan people's signatures without their knowledge or consent and paste those signatures on documents that the signatories never saw.
Jeez.
And this is becoming an industry, right, Mickey?
Oh, Mark, like you know, it is everywhere. And what I'm working on now, that we're working on a major King's Bench suit, where we're going to go in, and we've started to file lawsuits right in the Supreme Courts of each state, that because it's up to the state, but the Supreme Court judge in each state to keep their inferior courts honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm working on a case right now from down in York. Right, that's about a town that's about 17 miles from here. And we went in with the forged note, the fraud notes, and it was all a fact. We have expert witnesses, expert banking witnesses, and we went in there and proved that these notes were forged and fraud. And you know what the judges did?
No.
They completely ignored it. And they never go after this. And most of the time they're going to go with the banks. So that's why that we have came up with the King's Bench suit, and because that is the only way that we can find that the people can file these in groups and go after the Supreme Court judges, because it's up to them to make sure that their inferior courts comply with the laws.
Which would mean getting rid of the fraud.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey, that's an excellent encapsulation of what you're going to be talking about in much more depth and detail in September at the hotel on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. And we appreciate you calling in to give a little basic explanation so people get a flavor of what this is going to be about. But yeah, the King's Bench is a legal concept that carries over from British common law. Correct me or stop me if I'm wrong, Mickey.
Yeah, you're right.
Pennsylvania being a commonwealth state like Virginia, it especially applies there. But as you said, it can apply in all 50 states. And this is a brand new tool, ladies and gentlemen, as I understand it, to on a much larger scale and in a much more efficient, faster, quicker way to expose this document forgery racket that involves media, courts, the legal community, and, of course, banks and other lending institutions. So,
Mickey, the one thing, let me interject this before you jump off. 2008, mortgage-backed securities, all the crap that they sold behind that, all the debt, not just the United States, every industrialized country in the world that uses their middleman fiat money. Here in the United States, nobody was charged, nobody went to court, nobody was found guilty. To the tune of between $1 and $1.4 quadrillion, and the neatest trick of all was put the onus and that debt right on the American people's backs for the money that they'd stolen. I have been referring to that as being the greatest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind.
Absolutely.
Well, John, the Federal Reserve is that. It is the biggest fraud in the history of the world.
You got that right.
And to go back in, and there's a lot of banking acts.
We got messages coming up.
Yeah. Mickey, we've got a break here.
Okay.
Yeah. I appreciate you being on the program here. I can't wait to see you down in San Antonio this September.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, guys.
All righty. We'll be there. Thanks a lot, Mickey. We'll be right back. 3-minute break here, folks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens. Sorry, we were talking deep stuff during the break here. Man, I'm looking forward to going down to San Antonio. This is going to be fun. The Riverwalk is one of my favorite places in Texas.
One of my favorite places overall. Yeah, it's really where Texas really shines.
It does. Hey, let's get back to the phones here. We got about, roughly, commercials included, about a half hour left. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hello, John. Great to hear you, Mark. I'm sure excited about your mixandstream.com. I'm on there looking at it as we speak.
Wonderful.
And did I hear you say that you had expertise in global cities?
Yeah, I've been digging into that really hard, and I'm going to be doing a lot of work on that between now and September to really bring it up to where I want it to be. But what I found so far is just mind-boggling.
Okay, so I know Denver's included, which is the capital near me, but
yes.
My question for you was, do you have an opinion about the 5G network and how it connects to that?
what I've learned so far, it's not opinion, is what they're talking about like in Chicago at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, which is, it used to be called the Chicago CFR. They changed the name, but it's sort of an extension of Chatham House in the UK, although they don't talk about that. It's a philosophical and kind of intellectual offspring of Chatham House. It's not necessarily the institutional offspring. But what they talk about there is smart buildings, smart cars, driverless cars, beefed up mass transit, and the 5G network, making it where smart buildings and mass transit and people's personal devices all communicate with each other, buildings that are actually considered smart. And 5G is hardwired right into that.
Got it. So have you discovered much information about how dangerous that is to the human physiology?
I haven't discovered it myself. I've read about it of others' discoveries and insights into that. And yes, I do understand that there is a threshold at which the human body begins at the tissue level or the molecular level, whatever it might be, that undue exposure, kind of like to a smart meter or to too much of this electromagnetic pollution, as some people call it, electromagnetic smog, that there's a threshold at which the human body is adversely affected. But I'm not, that's not my area of expertise, but I understand that to be the case.
But definitely a component of that, smart cities.
Yeah, it would be a consequence of it, evidently. I mean, I don't know what remedies could be in mind by the so-called leaders that are leading us in this rebellion against the nation state that the global cities more or less represent. But it certainly would have that effect, that consequence, if we're getting into the 5G thing and hardwiring our existence, our environment with this, you know, again, unless there's some sort of remedy, some sort of way of preventing it, I don't know. But it sounds to me like a brave new world that's going to have a lot of health dangers. And in fact, it already does, you know, with the smart meter issue and many of the claims about that. So that's an apparent consequence of this obsession with hardwiring cities with these, you know, surveillance and other capabilities that they would have.
Wow, well, I sure appreciate your candor. If I can't make it to San Antonio, which I don't think I will definitely live stream the entire thing. I'm excited as heck. And it sounds, John, a little bit like what you were talking about in February or March with Ron about putting together a conference with the most brilliant minds out there.
It'll only be $10 to hear us all if you do it remotely and you can't make it. So tell a lot of people about it. It's going to be really interesting. Global Cities is very rarely heard about, and I've been really pouring a lot of effort into it and going to programs. I go listen to these people in person whenever I can. I talk to the globalists, if you want to call them that. I'm reading their stuff. In the movie The Patriot, what did Mel Gibson do? He found Cornwallis's diary. You have to read the words of the quote-unquote enemy. You have to read what they're writing.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you for taking my call, John. Great show today, and I will talk to you again.
Thank you,
thanks,
Mike,
for calling. Yep.
I appreciate it. Andy in Texas, if we get cut short here, bottom of the hour break, we'll carry you over. Go ahead, Andy.
Okay, I'm going to go back to this Santa Fe shooting again. Yeah. I mean, we're led to believe that this guy goes into a room with a shotgun and a .38, kills 10 people, injures 10 more people, so he's got to reload somewhere around there.
Shoots the SRO, the school resource officer, as well.
Yes, and so we hear today from ABC and Newsmax and whatnot that this guy was telling jokes and then saying after each time he shot somebody, another one bites the dust. So meanwhile, he's a comedian, and he's shooting these people, and then after that, or perhaps before that, he has a 25-minute shootout with a bunch of cops who should have zeroed their weapons before they got there. I mean, I don't get it. It just doesn't sound right to me, John.
No, none of it. If this was a murder mystery, who could write one like this? Agatha Christie, maybe?
She'd be going, I'm about to rewrite that paragraph.
Andy, hang on a second. Let me take the break here. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Lord, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's been too dark to see. Felt like knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on.
Well, there's your favorite guy, Mark.
Yeah, everybody must, okay.
Everybody must get stoned.
Yeah.
You know what I heard him say in an interview? If it wasn't for Satan, I wouldn't be here. I actually heard the man say that.
Neither would I.
Well, Bill Clinton, how are you anyhow? How's the piano-legged, pantsuited lesbian?
All of it is Hillary's fault from the beginning to the end.
Okay. Including Mena, Arkansas. And by the way, Bill, who told you to stuff all that stuff up your nose, by the way?
It was Hillary. I did not have sex with that woman. That means Hillary.
Andy, you still there?
Yes, I am, sir. Hey, this just leads me to one more question. Is this the beginning of more shootings with guns that they haven't singled out yet? I mean, now we're on a shotgun and a revolver.
Yeah, 30.
And, before it was the AR-15. Yeah. I mean, so
it's just guns and it's the shooters. It's not murders, you know. And what I actually heard on this one, Andy, I actually heard somebody on Fox say that I'm going to refuse to mention the guy's name because he's not going to get famous off of me. Even if they're on SSRIs and they're playing some whacked out video game that they think it might be a cool idea to slip from unreality and take that into a school, how many people are going to want to copy them if they're called what they are, murderers?
Well, here's one for you, and I heard this, I believe, on Newsmax or ABC as well. I guess the Parkland shooter guy is receiving a bunch of fan mail while he's in jail. Did you hear that one?
No, I haven't either. Well, you know, that's this kind of movie star mentality. You know, people, you know, well, they used to like the down-and-out characters. You know, Al Capone had fans. Bonnie and Clyde were actually well-liked among many Texans and Louisianans.
It's because they were robbing the banks that had screwed them.
Right. John Dillinger used to say, I'm going to rob the banks because the banks rob the people.
Yeah.
You know, so people take on this air of infamy, you know, people are living in this sort of half-reality where they want something to believe in, and they even believe in these anti-heroes. And we don't even know if Dimitrios Piotis, or however you say his name, I got it, Piotis, Dimitrios Piotis, we really don't know what he did or didn't do. We're relying on sheriff's departments that won't produce written reports on the Sutherland Springs shooting that happened late last year and back last fall. I asked for the Office of General Counsel to provide me with a complete crime report. They said they'd give me 10 days an answer. This was 3 weeks ago. They said I'd have an answer in 10 days. I did not get an answer at all.
And you're not likely to.
Yeah.
Andy, I've got to move because we got a slew of calls here.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks, John.
You're welcome. Dan Sutterfield. Oh, this is the guy I was telling you earlier about, Mark. Hello, Dan Sutterfield.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I didn't call to talk about Frontside. I wanted to give you a little synopsis of me touring San Francisco and stumbling on the Federal Reserve Bank there back in 2011.
Whoa.
Massive building, great big columns out front, and needless to say, I'd been listening to you guys long enough that it piqued my interest, and I said, I'm going to go in there. So my wife and I stumble in there and went up to the lady kind of at a teller window. She wasn't out where you could walk around her. She was back in behind a wall.
Yeah.
And I said, do you guys give tours? She goes, yeah, it takes 2 weeks' notice.
Oh.
I said, okay, thanks a lot. We were about ready to leave, and there was another lady in there with a bunch of high school kids, two ladies with a bunch of high school kids. And she says, where are you from? I said, Missouri. And she said, I love your accent. And I said, lady, I didn't know I had one. She said, you couldn't get your tour, could you? And I said, no, it takes 2 weeks' notice. And she said, what do you do there? I told her I used to teach high school. And she goes, will you be good? And I said, what do you mean? She says, they don't know how many chaperones we brought. You could bump in with us. You can get your tour if you want. So we got to go in. And they set us down in a building about, 24 by 40 maybe. All a bunch of benches out in the middle with all these glass cases around the perimeter with all the slugs and the paper money we've had over the years.
Mm.
And this blonde lady came in with a German accent, nice-looking lady, and she welcomed us to the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. And then she got real theatrical, John, and she says, we want you to know something right off the bat. And she stood there with a smirk on her face like the cat that ate the canary, and she said, we are not part of the United States government. And then she stood there again, real theatrical, like waiting, you know, and she said, do you know why? And when she did that, she did about a 180, and she pointed to everybody in the room. Then she stood there again, and she said, you don't want a bunch of politicians controlling your money now, do you? I wanted to shove her up against the wall and tell her.
Oh, you know what I would, Dan, what I would have said to her, yeah, when we get out that thing, that constipation, what did you say it was? The Constitution that requires that we have real money? Oh, yeah, yeah. I would have said to her, well, thank you for putting on your exhibits for your own conviction all around this room. We'll be requiring that to be held in evidence in court against you.
Well, she openly admitted it. It floored me that she would do that.
And I
know a lot of people may not think that happened, but I would encourage anybody out there, if they've got a half a day, and you're near a big city that's got a Federal Reserve Bank, call up, make an appointment, take the tour. See what they say. Now, I don't know if they'll all tell you that.
Oh, probably not.
But
she was particularly arrogant. And she was a foreigner, too, so she dual citizenship.
Well, I would just add the quick caveat that the politicians shouldn't handle the creation of money thing is the canard they use. What they really mean is there should not be any public oversight or control. That's what they're really saying.
Sure.
And that a private interest should get a concession from the government to create money with with interest charges attached and usuriously issue this money with painful compound interest being paid with our taxes, and that's okay to let a private bank do that, but don't let it become politicized, i.e., aka, don't let the public have too much insight on the machinations of what we do, which is why no congressman nor even the president can go to the open market committee meetings of the Federal Reserve. They only print the minutes after the fact. And so it's to keep money under wraps, and how they do it and the interest charges and the whole racket is to keep it under wraps but give it this kind of glitzy, sexy little image on the outside, including the nice looking gal. I mean, that's the psyop of the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, that Grace Commission report's kind of an eye opener. If you look that up on the internet, it's about a seven page summary of over 10,000 pages. And it says in that summary, with a highlighted paragraph, that the IRS, all the money they collect from individuals, not corporations, goes directly to the Federal Reserve to pay the interest on the debt. Not one nickel of IRS money collected from our population.
And Dan, most people don't understand. That's why I called the IRS, the very same people that were in on creating the Emergency Banking Act of 1913, the very same people that were in there to script that out were the very same people that was there for the Internal Revenue Service that was newly created, and that was nothing but a surety to the bankers so they can get paid. That's all that it was.
Collection agency.
That's it. You know how many millions and millions and millions upon millions of people in this country that don't know that? If they did, I think was said many years ago by Henry Ford, you know, if the people found out about this, there'd be riots in the streets tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. Dan, I appreciate your call, my friend. By the way, we have until June 2nd with this front site deal. What is your number that they can call to get the master membership there for $500? Lifetime membership.
Yeah, my house number, my landline, is 573-762-2356.
And the other number, just in case you're not there?
Yeah, I've got a cell number. It's 573-465-2356.
Did you hear from Dr. Piazza yet?
No, I didn't. I was hoping. Well, you saw the copy of what I wrote to him, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I was hoping he would respond directly to you, but I haven't heard a word.
Okay, well, I'll give it another heave-ho tomorrow. I'd like to get him on before this thing is out, that's for sure.
No kidding.
All right. All right, Dan.
Maybe he's a little shy. He doesn't seem like it. He's not at a loss for words on his website.
I interviewed him before, years and years and years ago.
Yeah, I'll try to call there tomorrow and see if I can wake him up, too.
Very good. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. By the way, the website, our website, republicbroadcasting.org, the September 8 deal down in San Antonio on the Riverwalk, that's linked on the RBN updates and in the news. So it's going to be there. Folks, you got 3 months for this one. 3 months, $25 a ticket or 10 bucks online. I don't want to hear any excuses.
Be there, be square.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Tommy in Tennessee. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, John. Guys there. Okay, I want to back up to the mortgage or the alleged loan. Okay, you know some of this, but it's an esoteric agenda. It's spiritual. The fiction government name on a piece of paper, right? Is fiction entity represented by real people? who cannot do business with real people. They are doing business with the name on the birth certificate, the name on the driver's license. You must, there's a remedy in the law when they abrogated the gold standard after 1933. It was House Joint Resolution 192. Any obligation that requires payment shall be discharged, dollar for dollar. Now, dollar bills are not money. There's only treasury bills, treasury notes, treasury bonds, bills of exchange. There's
also,
no money.
Also known as debt instruments.
Correct. Cannot pay off a debt with a debt instrument. It's an impossibility.
Right.
So, what I'm coming to is here that we must challenge the subject matter jurisdiction. The court gets the subject matter jurisdiction with the last name. You do not own the last name. Your family owns the name. So they tacked it on a birth certificate, and we call ourselves John Henry Doe, right? And when you answer to Doe, it's over. Although you can always challenge any at any time, before, during, or after, the subject matter jurisdiction. Now, we must know who we are and who we're not. We are not the name on the birth certificate. We are not the name on the driver's license. Who are we? We are really, real living beings with blood running through our veins, right?
Oh, you mean, so, Tommy, wait a minute, Tommy, you mean people aren't corporations too?
Well, we act like it, I understand.
I thought I was.
Damn it. I thought I had stock in the big corporation. Damn it.
Just because we might have been a corporation yesterday, we've learned something, and we're not today. So who are we? Okay,
yeah.
That's a big question everybody asks. Well, we're not the name on a birth certificate. We're our first and our middle name. Okay, that's our given name. And the court, anybody was not in the birthing room when we were born to have first-hand knowledge of what our parents called us when we were born.
Tommy,
so your
and,
name is
and,
John.
Yeah, Tommy, I'm real short of time here, and I appreciate you've got it down pat.
I'm trying to cut this short and tell you that you are a beneficiary. You must challenge the subject matter jurisdiction and shut them down. There's no argument with fiction entity.
You know,
you cannot argue.
Tommy, slow your roll here, because I know you can keep going summarizing for the next 5 minutes, because what you're talking about is exactly true, and I agree with you. Could you imagine, Tommy, how most people would feel if they found out that birth certificate was monetized? Outside of their control or their knowledge?
And I believe Mickey Paletta can provide a lot of insight onto that one, too.
Absolutely.
So I'm just interjecting.
Absolutely. Tommy, I hate to cut you short here, but we've got callers yet, and we're running out of time. But you are exactly correct, my friend.
That's why I was trying to talk fast. Anyway, thanks a lot, John. Talk
okay.
to you later.
All right, Tommy.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. Wayne in Texas. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, John. Good show. Hey, I wanted to ask Mark a question about this Global Cities Conference he's going to. And the key question is, when you look at the largest cities in the world today, L.A., San Francisco, London, Stockholm, Brussels, they're all suffering under the scourge of many immigrants, legal and illegal.
The balkanization.
Sexual assaults, crime, and beatings. And the other part of this is the local politicians are either unwilling or unable to do something to combat what's going on here. And I find it very, very interesting. This is happening now. I wonder if Mark has looked into this or might plan to in the future.
Yeah. When they talk about global cities briefly, they talk about sanctuary cities, smart cities, resilient cities, and other names for them. And each one has a specific meaning, and sanctuary cities happen to be global cities and vice versa in most cases. For instance, Libby Schaff, the mayor of Oakland, California, is a global cities member in good standing and was even involved a couple of months ago in warning illegal immigrants before ICE officers would be there to detain them and possibly deport them. She was actually involved in tipping them off and warning them.
Right. And one question,
yeah.
One other follow-up to this also is, I've heard that these global cities might be looking to have a mutual cooperation agreement where they may start coming together and supersede any authority of local governments, state, and even federal. They might be looking to do this, where you see San Francisco thumbing their nose at ICE and other type of organizations like that. It just seems like they're trying to gain more and more power, become almost a government of their own.
Yeah, they see it as that's where all the people are going to live, and they're getting more and more power, and yes, they're leaning that way, and I'm studying along those lines very much. But you're on the right track.
Great. Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Wayne.
By the way, under a Department of Justice program known as equitable sharing, you heard that term? Local police are being deputized as federal agents in order to participate in joint terrorism task forces. Now, what this is actually doing, Mark, is enabling them to bypass their state's own forfeiture and surveillance laws. That's why you saw the Attorney General just expand that out several months ago. Yeah. Can't find Hillary, can't find the crime, but he can find equitable sharing. So they can spy on individuals suspected of terrorism or other crimes, other purposes, falling under federal jurisdiction. Now, this is according to an online article written by the 10th Amendment Center's Director of Communications, Michael Meharry. In the article entitled "Local Cops Skirt State Limits on Surveillance by Joining Federal Task Forces." Now, it's well known that the federal program, known as equitable sharing, allows local prosecutors and police to bypass more restrictive state asset forfeiture laws by bypassing and just passing these cases off to a federal government through a process known as adoption. Isn't that sweet? What a term. A Department of Justice directive issued last summer by Attorney General Jeff Sessions reiterates full support for equitable sharing programs. Now, we're starting to hear in California neighborhoods that they have drones out there. People are calling in the local TV stations going, why is the police department, why are they spying on this? This is part of the equitable sharing program. Federal funds available for these neat little nifty drones, but now your Mr., whatever local PD guy is also a federal agent as well. This is a backdoor way of nationalizing the police in this country.
And federalizing all crimes.
There you go. And they want nothing. They would love that. Look how many federal employees are just sitting around bureaucratically doing next to nothing every day. Let's put them to work. God. Patton in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, when I heard you talking about the MERS, I thought of Joyce Riley. I miss her. I heard it on shortwave, and I couldn't believe my ears. And my husband called Marcy Kaptur. She's a Polish immigrant, Democrat, Catholic, but she really loves poor people, and she tries to help them, you know. And he said, tell them not to leave their houses. Tell them to tell that judge or whoever they got to produce the document. The first original document.
Yes.
She did. She came on the phone, man. She was a firebrand. And I don't know how many people she might have kept in her house. Y'all need to get her on all this stuff. I really think she could become a Republican.
I don't hold your breath on that, Pat. I'm not quite sure.
I have a bit.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Me and who? I have a book on Wall Street and how all this crap started, and I felt horrible the rest of the day because I realized I was part of it.
Well, but you know what?
I helped make a company. I trained 40 women in that company. We had to type the documents back then for all these big mass packages they had selling to big banks and all that.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what this was going to lead to. I mean, I wish I'd done something else, but I have learned about mortgages.
Yeah.
It helped me a lot, saved my own one time.
All right, Pat, there's an old saying that I created. You done stepped in it now. But you know what? It made you angry, but it also set you free. Isn't that kind of cool? I like that. Pat, I appreciate your call. We've got about 3.5 minutes here, Mark. How do you want to summarize?
Well, certainly we're in the midst of a probable continuing chain of unexplained or only partially explained school, possibly church, and other shootings. let's just put it this way. We cannot definitively prove in every instance, in every aspect, that there is a program, something put into motion to really go after the Second Amendment tooth, fang, and claw. However, I will say this. I've looked at enough of these Sutherland Springs, the anomalies I saw when I went inside that Baptist church there, including windows that supposedly would have been shot out, but the windows still had the original glass in them and crumbling caulk around the windows where they attached to the frame, as if the windows had never been touched in a shooting that supposedly tore up the entire church, much of it from the outside. And so there was a surprising lack of damage and old building material still there that should have been disrupted or damaged by the bullet, by the gunfire from the Sutherland Springs shooter. So I've seen some of these anomalies close up, but long story short, if you wanted to have a program to really go after the Second Amendment, what would you do? You would do exactly what we're seeing. You would have a string of mini attacks, a string of small, hard-to-explain crimes
right.
that keep tugging at the heartstrings of people over and over and over again to get them exasperated and confused and to get them to finally say, okay, just we'll do the gun buybacks. We'll do whatever we have. Just leave us alone. We want these shootings, the deaths of these students to go away. In other words, you can't prove it, but if you wanted to get rid of the Second Amendment and had to devise a way of doing it, this is what you would do.
Well, and by the way, I'll point people to republicbroadcasting.org. Real story, folks. RPM Development Group is a developer, housing developer. Well, as of May 1st, effective as of May 1st, in all of their developments, there's postings. This building will be firearm-free building. No one will be permitted to store, carry a gun or a rifle or any other type of firearm of any kind in the building or on the grounds. If it is discovered that you do have a firearm of any kind on this property, you will receive a notice to cease followed by a notice to vacate. So they're now throwing people out of their own homes. Mm-hmm. This is a real estate developing group.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they stigmatize with either exploiting these school and church shootings, or in the worst case scenario, possibly this is being carried out as intelligence operation of some kind.
And this puts out the signal. This puts out the signal to roving bands of little creatures that like to steal, rob, rape, and pillage.
Yeah, the copycat thing, too.
The copycat thing. Well, here's huge developments that you can go in and just have your way, because you know what? You won't get shot. You won't get shot.
Yeah, and these are the kind of things I'm describing what could be the case. There's a lot that would still need to be proved to support what I'm saying. But if you wanted to go after the Second Amendment in a country like ours,
yep.
with traditions like ours, this is something like what you would do.
Well, and they've been hard at it for a number of years.
It seems.
Bill Clinton. You know how many guns that guy is personally responsible for selling? Every time he and Janet Reno come up with issues on gun control, people couldn't get to the gun shows fast enough. Thank you, Bill, and subsequent anti-gunners. You have helped arm America for the second the Second American Revolution, but Mark, as I like to call it, it's the Restoration Project.
Yeah, that sounds much better.
Mark Anderson, I appreciate you coming in. Ron, good seeing you. Ron Avery, and be looking forward to your event down in San Antonio on September 8th. Post on the website. Again, Mark Anderson, thanks for being here, sir.
Boom, thanks.
All righty. You know that guy we were just talking to used to do a program on the network for 5 years? We got to get him back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.